Hey, welcome everyone. This is the Insight Hour. I'm Dr. Len Horowitz. We come every week, every Tuesday night to you. It is now midnight on the East Coast, 9 o'clock Pacific, and here we are in magnificent Hilo, Hawaii. Believe it or not, here we are vacationing, having fun in the sun, but also working our tails off in Hilo, Hawaii on the resolution of the politics for vaccination, indemnification against the vaccine injuries, and all sorts of wonderful things. But tonight, we're going to do a little bit different venue. We're going to be talking about more of a celebration and attitude of Thanksgiving, because it is a season of thankfulness. And tonight, we've got some wonderful guests for you tonight. I'm here sitting with Sherry Kane. Hey, Sherry.
Hi, Len. How are you?
Good. And we're going to bring Reverend Roxy Hampton on in a minute, and we're going to bring Roger Christie on. We're in Roger's place in downtown Hilo, Hawaii. It's the most powerful healing ministry in marijuana. Believe it or not, basically, you've heard about the resolution of vaccination and indemnification for we the people. In essence, we get a chance here to declare our freedom from vaccination intoxication. And likewise, there's been some major things happening on the Big Island of Hawaii right now in terms of resolutions that are happening to advance freedom of marijuana. Now, if you understand my orientation towards the pharmaceutical industrialists, you recognize that marijuana has been regulated for various reasons by the petrochemical pharmaceutical cartel. If we the people ever really discovered all the ways that hemp could be used for wonderful things and blessings, well, it would be a different type of planet. We would be using virtually water for fueling our engines. We would be using all sorts of products made from hemp to do all sorts of wonderful things. So, Sherry, what do you think about Hilo, Hawaii?
I really love Hawaii. I think that it's one of the most spiritual places I've ever been to. I thought when I went to Sedona, that was the most spiritual place I've ever been to, and I still think it is. And now that I'm in Hawaii, I can see there are other places that are as equally as spiritual. And I think being here, I learned a lot. I mean, I think that being positive and really, really focusing on the positive can really manifest things that you really want in your life to come out positively. So I believe that the way you think really is the way that things are going to come out. That's your outcome. And I think that we talked about that a lot, about, you know, certain difficulties, you know, you felt you were having in your life as we all go through those things and ups and downs, and just remaining positive and just realizing that it's all going to be okay in the end, and that God loves us and God would never, ever forsake us and leave us go and be sad and not happy. I mean, you know that God truly wants the best for us. And God always says, give me your burden. Let me take it off of your back. And that's one thing we all have to realize, is that it's not up to us. It is up to God. And if we really put our faith in God and we believe that there truly is a higher power out there that's really looking out over us, then I believe that we are going to be truly happy. You know, and it's hard to be there. It's hard to stay in the faith, but I work on it every day, and I know you do too.
We do. I do too. And I think that every single one of us, you know, until we're all walking on water, I think what Sherry just said is extremely important to remember, giving our full heartfelt faith in prayer, consistent praising of the Creator for all the blessings, and looking at even those things that we perceive as curses. Yea, though we walk through this valley of the shadow of death here in these end times, where there's 10,000 dying at our left, 1,000 dying at our right, as it shall be, as it was prophesied to be. And now we can still hold firm our faith, our trust, and have miracles happen, because as it is that so many people are sick and dying from being foolish, from being really stupid, from lining up and praising false gods like the medical deities that poison us and poison our children and change the genetics of future generations through the intoxications and the genetic manipulations through the vaccinations. Well, gee whiz, there's also a positive renaissance taking place, a spiritual renaissance, and the Creator has never, ever let his people down. Those faithful will be sustained and uplifted. And so we're here in Hawaii. It is a place that attracts, this Big Island of Hawaii. If you've really been doing some of your homework, it is the place on the planet that really attracts the world's most profoundly spiritual healers. And the healing that takes place on the Big Island is powerfully profound because it involves an active lava flow, literally, 8 miles from what we call the Kingdom of Heaven that we're grateful for. The Creator has blessed us with the Kingdom of Heaven estate to steward as the ancient Hawaiian kahunas, which kahuna stems from kohanim, the Hebrew leaders, the teachers, the holy persons would teach and preach and prophesy. And that's what the kahunas mean. Well, those kahunas say that this place where we are currently broadcasting is a very, very supremely spiritual place. And this section of the Big Island is extremely important for the emergence of a not just a new age that deals with the hypocrisies of a new age that we currently witness, but a whole up level of a new kingdom of heaven manifested here on earth for the blessings and full prospering in all ways. Tonight we have a special show. Sherry, thanks. I want to ask Reverend Roxy Hampton to join us and share with us a little bit about this spirit of thankfulness and joy. Thanks for being with us tonight, Sherry.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you.
Hey, so now, for those of you who are long-term Insight Hour supporters, yay, I get a chance to be with my sister after all these years. I haven't seen Reverend Roxy in about a year or so. So it's what a wonderful blessing it is to come back home to the Big Island of Hawaii and reunite with Reverend Roxy Hampton. Reverend, assume now that it's the beginning of the show like we used to do in the old days.
Oh, yeah, you know what, Dave, you know what time it is, and it is time for the Insight Hour. As you open your mind, let life be the thought. As you open your eyes, let life be the glow. As you open your ears, let life be the melody, layer after layer after layer. As you open your nose, let life be the scent. As you open your mouth, let life be the breath. As you open your hands, ha-ha, let it be the, give me some, woo, flesh, layer after layer after layer. And as you open your heart, let life be the heat. And as you open your soul, let life be the torch. And as you open your being, let life be the juice. Layer
after layer after layer.
And that's how we opened up the Insight Hour. And it is so nice to have you back, Dr. Lynn, because we've had some touchdowns. We've got lots of things going. We're in the Moses building. I mean, can anybody, can we have David without Moses? Can we have anybody without anybody? Can we have Moses? And what was Moses? Moses was the man who heard the call and said, you know what, I know about the brotherhood and everything, but we got to go. So he kept up his brother and said, and so many strangers. This is the way it's going to be, folks. The spontaneous mass motion of approval for that which you know to be real. I defy you to find anything more real than the relationship that I have here with this man. And I'm saying that to all the people in Chicago, to the Farrakhans, and those who are cons. I just want to say to you, God bless you all, because you all are alive and well. And great is this day for all who kept faith, and dreadful for others, for that will be their fate. Now, someone told me long time ago that we would have to decide exactly when we would take this ride. Well, it looks like we're taking this ride, and we're coming out of this here first decade. We're getting ready to launch 2010. What class?
Class of 2010.
Yeah, the class of 2010. Really? And the class of, when did you graduate high school?
Oh, high school? Gee whiz, I can't
remember. He doesn't even like to talk about high
school.
That's right. And 1970 for me, too. Maroon and white. Anyhow.
Can you imagine that? We're both, what is it? How old are we?
I mean, come on, folks. You know you want to ask the question, but don't, because it would be ungodly to ask who's older.
Well, I think we both look pretty good for our age.
We do if you turn around.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into it. I'm so happy to see you. There's so many people.
My hair, you know.
Well, do you want to ask me a question?
I do.
Before we get to Roger, because you know we want to get to Roger.
I do.
Roger is the pressing issue here. Yeah, not depressing, but pressing issue here. Because we had our victory with the vaccine. A lot of people want to ask, what did you give them people to make them say that?
Yeah. I understand I got an email. I got an email today that Dr. Joseph Mercola is publicizing the victory that we basically sculpted here on the Big Island of Hawaii. You're looking at the woman.
No. I got to correct you before you even put that out there.
Okay.
You are not looking at the woman who had much to do with the resolution other than having the beauty and the wherewithal to know that it was being cared for while I did other things.
Okay.
That has to go out to Sativa.
Okay.
Sativa is the one who did the real,
the real labor of love.
And made sure and cuddled the little baby and everything, and it was really cute.
Excellent. So you may have read, if you've been paying attention, the releases that we have on healthyworldstored.com. You can go there, sign up for the newsletter. You can do the same on fluscam.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and you might have read what we put out as a press release to all you wonderful folks viewing and listening who've supported us over all these years on our newsletter. The archives are also available at the bottom of Healthy World Store. If you've missed them, you can go to the bottom. It says Newsletter Archives, and click on Healthy World Newsletter Archives, and you'll have such a blessing. You'll be able to read everything that we've been doing for the last several years. But one of those most recent releases has to do with the victory for the H1N1 swine flu scam, and We the People, that was moving forward with the resolution to decree our independence from the mandatory vaccinations. And Dr. Joseph Mercola, I got some emails from several people today, essentially hijacked it, pirated the victory that
God bless the people.
Yeah.
God bless him. I mean,
that was me, by the way. I get the credit
for
that.
Sherry got the credit for that one.
I was the one that got those emails.
There you go. And what I want to say to everybody is that I want to thank everybody out there, because it was everybody who sent in counsel testimony. And I believe that there was no other judgment, because we weren't asking so much telling them about the H1. I mean, go do it if you want to. Go. If you really believe that's faith, you have faith in that, that's fine. What we were looking at was the camel's nose under the tent. And we saw that camel's nose, and we like, get back out of this tent. This tent's not big enough for you. And we want to include. We want to be inclusive. In a fascist society, it becomes exclusive. You see what I'm saying? And we wanted to include what other states had. Some states have philosophical. Some states have medical, philosophical, and religious. We really, that's the crux. Whether or not it's got viruses, cancers, or whatever, we all discover that later. But what we wanted was, wait a minute, we used to have, but now I see this little clause here that in a pandemic or any kind of emergency, then the religious right will be snatched away. Now, they're talking compulsory school vaccination. This is where they get you. But there's a whole other set of laws waiting that are all the result. You can't tell me that if they all made the same. Anthrax, there's botulism, they got this kind, E. coli. They've been busy. So anytime they want to say, oh, there's something out there, they'll want to vaccinate you. So we want to interrupt that. And that's what this resolution was about, to say to the lawmakers in the states, we want you to revisit this issue. We want you to have the guts to reissue this issue. Because I don't want you to be wrong down the road like they were with atomic energy or what they were like, anything that they've made a mistake about. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we are the front line, the county, the local. This is it. The county runs the whole island. And if they cannot protect the herd from undue stress, and they already did, I bless you all, because you at least allowed people to get informed and you didn't shut the door. So there's one thing about our council that you can say. They are not bigots. They are not bigots.
And they're intelligent. They made
people.
The right choices.
They couldn't do anything else. They saw the aunties there. They do the homework. They see that there's something up their sleeve somewhere. They know that there's something going on. So I just wanted to say that I love you. I want to get Roger on. I don't want to take a boat time.
Right, well,
talk about the tin pot. Glory to the Lord. And let me say one more thing.
Go ahead.
Okay. Act 4. Okay. You want the crust and the crust of the bread of life. Read Act 4, okay? That's all I want. I'm not going to tell you all. I just want you to pick it up and read Act 4. When you get to the end, you'll understand the times in which we're living, and you will understand it's 2010. Let's not let them do it again. Can you bring on Roger? Can I introduce Roger?
First of all, here in the state of Hawaii, we have the Big Island, which is really leading the most conscious and the most advanced of all the reforms and legislative policymaking. And so beyond the H1N1 swine flu vaccination, fright and fraud, and Reverend Roxy, you have, I think, advanced, and just last touch on this before we introduce Roger, you've advanced this next level of looking at who's responsible for giving out misinformation, disinformation, and where is that currently from your office? Where does it sit right now with your office in terms of the comments and the testimony that was made by the health official for Kino and Park, and how that relates also to our brother Joseph in Maui?
Last week we had a great show on the Inside Hour.
Yeah. Good. Just mention that, and then I want you to also lead in from there to what it is that the council is thinking about doing, or actually right now constructing, insofar as the marijuana laws, which are draconian in most places. And the reality is, gee whiz, if you've got all the other addictions, you've got sugar, which is one of the most toxic substances on the planet.
Alcohol. Tobacco.
Caffeine. On every corner, you got a Starbucks that's extremely addictive.
High blood pressure medicine.
And beyond that, basically, if the guys, all guys, you out guys listening out there, if you feel like you can't get an erection, think about how many cups of coffee you're drinking that's basically suppressing your libido. So the reality is all these drugs that people are taking that the FDA is giving you. Now, the fact of the matter is, currently in the state of California, the marijuana laws are changing dramatically, very rapidly. There's a whole shift, and this is why we want to bring Roger Christie on, because he's at the forefront of this whole movement. And many of you listening may question, well, what is this about marijuana? How come suddenly we got to integrate marijuana in our consciousness and begin to think about the politics of it and the suppression of it, engaging Codex Alimentarius legislation currently right now as the whole world's availability or access to the botanicals and the herbs and the vitamins and the minerals and all the supplements and the homeopathics and the essential oils are currently being more and more regulated by this globalistic agenda that was called Codex Alimentarius. The same time, you've got the DEA in the United States, the Drug Enforcement Agency, dramatically changing the laws and the allowances in the United States. What is taking place today in the area of marijuana and legislation is extremely, not just important, but illuminating for the politics underlying eugenics and the genocide. So we're going to bring Roger on in a minute, but Reverend Roxy, if you can please introduce Roger by way of sharing with the Inside Hour listeners tonight everything that you have been doing with the council on the Big Island of Hawaii through Emily's office, Emily Naoli, and then looking into the future where we're going from Park and Fukino and the issues that they have raised by their fraud into the work that Roger Christie has been doing here and where the Big Island community legislatively is moving.
Well, I just want to say this because I have to disclaim. This is that I am speaking as Reverend Roxy, and I'm very serious about that. And I'm a ministry of one, and I'm surprised at how many people show up. And even if so. But I want to say this about what you said. I think what you're getting at is, yes, I have received a draft, and we are looking at a real good. A lot of people got together and put together what I consider to be valid questions and valid criticism of our director of health. And so it is our duty, as you being a constituent and having a stake as a stakeholder on this island, that if something comes into our office, that we should pass it on to the notable people. I don't want to be guilty of omission. I don't want to be guilty of that in my job. I think it's important that we look at the facts of the case because there's so much riding on this, our children's futures. We are the watchkeepers, and in order to have a society that we want to see go forward, we have to care about it. We have to nurture it. So it's important that this step with the resolution, it's a big step. It's a really big step. Now, people say, oh, nothing, ain't going to do nothing, but it did already. This is what is true. It's a matter of public record, and anybody that goes to our site is going to see good correspondence, both sides, but mostly what you're going to see is the side of righteousness, the side of science, the side of not junk science, but truly putting the pieces together so that you can see. Don't compromise. Don't compromise your immune system. Don't challenge it. Love it. Cherish it. Not upset it. This is such a fine-tuned instrument. I'm 57 years old. I feel great. Why do I feel great? Because I don't take vaccines. I don't have a doctor. I don't want a doctor. I'd rather just come, well, not even you. I'd rather just, you know, talk to you. So let's bring Roger on.
Tell me a little bit about what it is.
It's a pleasure. I came to 1995. I came to the island. And one of the first issues that was happening was airplanes. I mean, I'd never seen such a thing except in Humboldt and other places like that, where people were actually being, until the war was settled in Humboldt and people are now growing in peace, there was a war zone going on. And I walked into a war zone and I met Dwight Condo. And through Dwight Condo, I also met Roger Christie. And being reverend to all of us, we really realized that there's a connection between all of us and we have something to do. So we started this paper, this little pamphlet called Light On, and we all got together and we did shows and we just raised the consciousness about the herb, the plant itself. I don't want to argue whether or not it gets you high or whatever. I just know that we wanted to raise, because once you start fighting nature, you're in a battle with yourself, you see. You've declared war on yourself, and that's why we have to stop this. So with that, I'm hoping and I pray that I do justice to the man who's getting ready to sit in this seat, of which I have an honor to give up, and to sit and listen to you two. And it's so timely. It is so timely, because this what he's getting ready to talk about is going to be coming up. And, hey, Councilman Greenwell, hats off to you. We're all a little kooky, and let's keep on being kooky, because the only change is going to come from the lunatic fringe. Oh, please, let me tell you.
Yeah, because look what's happened from the other side.
Amen.
The world is
in chaos.
The
economy, so need this. I mean, come on in here, man.
Hey,
this is so, Roger Christie.
Roger Christie, come on in. Aloha,
brother. Hey there,
nice to see you, brother. Good to see you.
Great to join you on the screen here.
Yeah, good to see you, yeah.
Hey, folks out there in internet radio land, aloha.
Aloha, Roger. So I met Roger years ago. Let me just give a little bit of background. I was extremely impressed with Roger, because Roger was one of the first people that picked up a copy of the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, read it, and basically this was my first bestseller in 1996, and then connected with me and said, you know, I really appreciate what you wrote. I used to be, and you tell the story better than I, he used to be in intelligence in the military. And he discovered some things that were horrific that dealt with biological warfare and ethnic weaponry. And as a conscientious objector to that, he couldn't handle it. So he'll tell the story. But Roger has gone on, and he is the premier minister of marijuana. Here we are in Hilo, Hawaii, where a part of his ministry are police officers and officials, and they love what he's doing. He's keeping children off the street, he's basically enabling them, educating them, enlightening them, spiritually advising them. And in essence, what he has advanced is an alternative to the crack cocaine and the things that are causing our children to become criminals. And so this man has done more for the marijuana decriminalization movement and for the consciousness raising movement in the area of hemp than anyone in the United States. So it is my privilege and pleasure to introduce you to my friend and colleague, Roger Christie.
Thank you so much, Leonard. Really
appreciate it, Roger.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. We're in the Moses Building.
That's right.
Downtown Hilo. This is a 1934 architecture. And it's got this beautiful vibration of a wonderful old building right on the ocean front, and named for Moses. And it was funny, because I asked the neighbor, who's an older gentleman who owns the building next door, tell me a little bit about the building here and how did it come to be called the Moses Building. He said, old man Moses built that building way back when. I said, I guess he did. I was hoping to hear a little more of a romantic story than that. But anyway, it's a pleasure to be here. Because part of what we're doing here with the Hawaii Cannabis THC Ministry is making the holy anointing oil of Moses and as far as we know, the christening oil of Jesus. And what a privilege and an honor that is to follow the Old Testament recipe for the sacred, holy anointing oil of Moses. The Lord gave Moses the recipe, and it's to be a holy oil throughout all the generations. So I've been a cannabis guy, and cannabis has been my sacrament, my sacred substance, to help me connect with nature and other people in a very friendly and loving way for many years, since actually 1968. And it's my pleasure to just look for research and information that would verify my love and respect for the plant. And then lo and behold, to find a recipe in the Old Testament, it really brought me into the Bible in that I had actually kind of given up in some ways here.
And you know, folks, when I first heard about Roger's work in this area, I was not a believer. I was thinking to myself, what the heck? This guy's getting high and he's claiming that this is like some sort of a scriptural thing. And so I came here, but I had an open mind and I sat down with Roger and he pulled out his Bible and he showed me and he read with me and he studied. He shared his magnificent revelations insofar as actually uncovering these recipes. And I'll tell you something, I was extremely impressed. It was a complete eye-opening experience for me. So maybe, Roger, you can bless our viewers tonight and listeners on BBS Radio. I want to thank BBSRadio.com tonight for carrying this broadcast both in audio and live streaming video. We're on also, for those of you who would like to know, weekly we broadcast on Love528TV.net. That's love528tv.net. And tonight we're broadcasting live from Hilo, Hawaii, in the Moses Building and the actual marijuana THC ministry with Roger Christie as the minister. So, Roger, if you can share a little bit about what you discovered when you did your Bible research on this formula that was used by Moses and Jesus as an anointing oil.
Thank you. The earliest references we found are from Sula Bennett back in the 1930s. She wrote a thesis about finding one word that existed in many languages, and she found that that word was hemp and cannabis from the cannabis sativa plant and the cannabis indica plant. And what she found is that it appeared in Jewish translations of the Bible as the word Cana Bosom. Canehbosem. And it's referenced in Exodus 30:23. That's the recipe, the one and only recipe in the Bible, Old Testament and New, for the holy anointing oil. As far as we can tell in a concordance on the internet, it says there are 163 references in the Bible that use the word anoint. So it's very important, and obviously it's the word Christ. And christen, and where Christian comes from, to anoint. So Sula Bennett in the 1930s did this early research. It was revived about 15 years ago by a gentleman who's a pen pal of mine, Chris Bennett. And Chris Bennett has ForbiddenFruitPublishing.com on the internet. You can look up his works. And he's quite the scholar. And he has revived Sula Bennett's work. Now, I read his scholarship, and I went, wait a minute, there's a recipe for cannabis in the Bible. I've got to see this. I've got to try it. So I called Chris up in Canada and said, Chris, how's that oil that you've been writing about in High Times and that got covered in the BBC and the Washington Post and the Guardian and all over many different news sources? And he says, what are you talking about? I said, well, how's that oil, that cannabis oil? He goes, I don't know. I'm smoking herb. I'm not trying the cannabis oil. And I said, holy moly, I'm going to make this stuff. So I broke out my Bible, opened it, and I love to give credit to where it comes from. I love to think back 3,300 years ago that the Lord said to Moses, there will be a holy anointing oil for you and your tribe, and it'll be a sacred sacrament throughout all the generations, including today, obviously. So I started making the recipe, and I had to figure it out for a small amount because it calls for a large amount of holy oil. As you can imagine, there was no prohibition back in those days. So it calls for about 5 gallons of olive oil, 25 pounds of myrrh, 12 pounds of cinnamon, 12 pounds of what's called fragrant cane in English language translations. And let me stop here for a second. If you're opening your Bible and want to take a look at this and verify for yourself, Exodus 30:23. In English, it will say, for cannabis, fragrant cane, sweet cane, aromatic cane, or calamus root in the King James edition. In the three Hebrew dictionaries that I own, the Living Torah, and by Rabbi Kaplan, the Webster's Hebrew English translation, 1992 edition, and a pocket dictionary from Eliezer Ben Yehuda, who is the founder of the Academy of the Hebrew Language in Israel, which has, I've read, binding authority over language matters, even for the Israeli government. In his dictionary, it also says fragrant cane or cane of bosom is cannabis. So I started making it, and I made a small amount, so I had to decipher what 12 pounds would mean down to make one cup of oil at a time. And I ordered the essential oils, the cinnamon and the myrrh and the cassia. I got the best olive oil I could find, and of course the best cannabis buds, the marijuana flowers, and ground them up and put them in the hot olive oil. And then I strained out the cannabis fibers and the pulp, and it left a clarified oil, which was cannabis-infused olive oil. And into that cannabis-infused olive oil, I put the drops of essential oils of myrrh and cinnamon and cassia, and then prayed about it and prayed with this oil and put my intention into it, because of the work of Dr. Emoto and other people that have led the way to prove scientifically that our thoughts and our feelings can be
measured. Heartfelt loving intention, yeah.
Yes, can be measured even with photography. It was incumbent upon me to step it up and to put my higher and highest intention into this oil and bless it mightily, so that every drop of this sacred substance would go to the beneficiary and bless them for whatever reason they were calling it in. People call us for spiritual troubles. They're confused or they're feeling depressed, and for mental and emotional issues and also physical problems such as tumors, gangrene, and other staph infections. And we've had fantastic testimonials from anointing with this sacred substance.
Beautiful. It's you put some really 528 hertz frequency now into some of the formulas,
Thank
Roger?
Thank you. I just bought the tuning fork.
Oh, wonderful.
Thanks to you and your daughter's promotion of this beautiful vibration. I have the tuning fork at home, and we're going to make holy anointing oil this Thursday night, because I like to make it on the full moon and the new moon every month here in Hawaii. And we put abundant love into that oil, plus the best ingredients we can find. And then it's our intention that every drop that's received by a member of our ministry or a medical patient anywhere in the world that calls for this, that they will open the bottle and they will be blessed with the love and the ingredients that's contained within. And also they'll be blessed by the promise that was put upon this recipe 3,300 years ago in the Holy Lands.
Beautiful. Roger, give us an update a little bit about the politics of this. I know just now, spending a lot of time in California, there really is a complete shift, a huge explosion in the amount of medical marijuana that's being made available and promoted, even in the everyday daily newspapers now. You know, they have marijuana availability that they'll even come to your house. You pick up the phone, call a toll-free number, and they'll deliver an ounce or so of marijuana with a license for you to use it medically. I actually, years and years ago, 1978, I published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, I'm sorry, Journal of the American Dental Association, the front page was a marijuana leaf. I actually published on the neurological effects of marijuana smoking in dental patients and its interactions with epinephrine and adrenaline and its sympathetic and parasympathetic, so nervous system interactions. And so there's a whole field of use for medical marijuana. And that comes also at a time, as I mentioned briefly earlier, where there is this sudden change in DEA and regulation that's occurring in America as we have a globalist agenda unfolding that is involving Codex Alimentarius legislation that really regulates, tremendously regulates, all of the medical related things or things that are competing with medicine and pharmaceuticals. So it's interesting now that medical marijuana is advancing and there is a allowance for that. And at the same time, here in Hawaii, there's the most advanced legislation for freedoms of usage, such as you are an example for here in this ministry in Hilo. So can you give our listeners like a real update on the politics behind the regulation of marijuana, where we have been, where it has come, and where we are right now and where you see it going, both in the state of Hawaii and nationally across the United States?
Sure. It's my pleasure, Leonard. Thank you so much. The Big Island of Hawaii has been a premier growing location because of the natural conditions here and the eccentric populace. Many people from the mainland who have come here and other places around the world, and plus indigenous culture here. This is called Polynesia, after all, which means many nations. And people here have gathered to find that this is almost like one of nature's greatest agricultural resources on the planet. It's like one giant greenhouse here with year-round growing conditions.
Everything's in this greenish-yellow 528 hertz frequency vibration. It's all over.
There's thousands of shades of green here, yeah. That's for sure. And so in the 70s and 1980s, there was a large upsurge in the growing of cannabis here, or marijuana. And it thrived, and it created a great economy, which we call ganjanomics. And ganjanomics is when you have ganja or cannabis and you have enough freedom to grow it. You get nature's sustainable economy. And it makes an enormous positive benefit to the to the economy here. And the Big Island was famous for, and also throughout Hawaii, for having hang loose was the motto many years ago. People were hanging loose because they were growing a little cannabis on the side, or a lot of cannabis on the side, and law enforcement was a bit lax about it, which was, they were tolerating it, which made for a very healthy and happy environment. And the islands of Hawaii were very famous to visit during the 1980s. Now, it got a little too good, apparently, and there was, according to the Attorney General here in the state, a multi-billion dollar economy was the underground economy of ganjanomics or cannabis. And so the law enforcement and powers that be here in the 1980s invited the military and the federal government to crack down. And that's what they did with Operation Wipeout in the late 1980s. The U.S. military was really opposed to entering the war on drugs while they were keeping the Berlin Wall up and maintaining that status quo in Europe. But once that wall came down, they were looking for a new mission, and they embraced the war on drugs as part of that. And they came to the Big Island first.
Meanwhile, running all the drugs internationally. You know, the Bush family, the Afghanistan connection, the opium trade from the Asia through Afghanistan, et cetera. And so that the concept of control certainly was felt everywhere.
Maybe they wanted a piece of this. Who knows what. But, you know, I also look at things from a spiritual perspective, from the metaphysics that I know it, and that is victims get victimized. And so the people of the Big Island went from having lots of mana, lots of inner spiritual strength, to becoming victims, to eradication by helicopter of the marijuana plants, and also spray poisoning of those plants, which to me was
hideous.
Insanity squared. Man, that's the second
totally
power.
Hideous.
So that's what I got here.
And then the crackdown on marijuana then caused the crack surge.
Correct.
Through all the communities. And that's where I then came to the island, in the Big Island of Hawaii, at just about beginning of the peak of the crime wave that spread across the Big Island and perhaps elsewhere. Because suddenly now, instead of having marijuana, the children were given poison and they were being arrested and persecuted. And what did they turn to? But a cheap fix that was somehow so readily available, this hideously toxic crack cocaine that turned all these good kids into criminals. Roger, you experienced that also, right?
Well, it was very disturbing to see, as you well can imagine, that for a happy, healthy economy here, of lots of cannabis available to people, which made it people very friendly. It made the general welfare taken very well care of. And then all of a sudden there was poverty and a crack epidemic, and methamphetamine came in on the heels of that in the early 1990s. And it's been very devastating, and it continues to be devastating to this day, decades later. Because cannabis, when there's abundant cannabis in a community, we found that it's actually a barrier to harder drugs. People are satisfied with Mother Nature's gifts for their, you know, spiritual enjoyment, their recreational use, and their medicine. And they don't want to turn to the unknown mystery powders and the hard drugs. However, when the cannabis is taken away, lo and behold, poverty, conditions of poverty, and the conditions for a hard drug epidemic come into play. The federal government knows very well this is the case. That's why they've only studied the cause of the methamphetamine epidemic in Hawaii one time. You think with a major epidemic raging here, which is devouring more than one generation of young people, that there would be studies galore as to what caused it. But no, there was only one study by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, NIDA, and it concluded that marijuana eradication once again caused the conditions for poverty and the methamphetamine epidemic. And then the study was deleted from NIDA's website. So very damaging, intellectually dishonest, corrupt as could be. Fortunately, we have hard copies of that study here, which, I, as a matter of fact, for Christmas presents, I just gave to all the judges on the Big Island. Just
beautiful. That's wonderful.
With a Christmas card to help them.
You ran for mayor a couple times, didn't you, on the Big Island?
I did, for the single purpose of liberating cannabis and stopping the war on marijuana here. And we've been actually quite successful with that. Yeah. Part of the evolution of the marijuana eradication situation and the cannabis liberation situation here has been that the good people of the Big Island passed a law last year. It was a ballot initiative called Ballot Question Number 1, and it's the lowest law enforcement priority of cannabis ordinance. If you'd like to see some details, folks out there in internet land, you can go to peacefulskyalliance.org, peacefulskyalliance.org. Because our goal is a peaceful sky on New Year's Day, just a couple days from now. But on November 5th, 2008, the good people of the Big Island voted to approve this lowest law enforcement priority for cannabis. And that allows 24 cannabis plants per property on the Big Island. And you don't need a religious exemption or a medical exemption or any reason at all, according to the law.
Wow. The law. Say that again. So right now, with the new legislation passed in the state of Hawaii, every person or homeowner can have 24 marijuana plants growing in their backyard?
Only on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Interesting.
And it's got to be private. So it's 53% of the people voted for it here.
It was
called Ballot Question 1. It was a great success. Wow. And we only spent $1 per vote. The new mayor, and I like Billy Kanoi. Hey, Billy, aloha to you, brother. He got the mayor's job last year in the election. He got the same amount of votes we got, about 35,000. He spent $13 per vote.
Wow.
He spent $1 per vote.
Isn't that something?
So
wow.
This issue has go power. It's got mana. And now the police have refused at first to obey the law. But with the go power of a board of directors of the Peaceful Sky Alliance and many other good people, we've been encouraging and forcing to the best of our ability, with good manners, of course, and respect for their authority, forcing the police and the police commission and the county council to accept this law and to implement it and to obey it. And it's come around. It's kind of like turning a big ship around, and you turn the wheel, and then a ways later, the back end comes around, and that's what's happening. A year later.
You are to be credited, acknowledged for doing that. You've been at the helm of this whole movement more than anybody, captaining this incredibly large ship. And so, you know, I want to acknowledge you, Roger, seriously. You owe a lot. You know, everybody who is engaged in the health freedom movement can look to what you have done in the area of medicinal marijuana and spiritual anointing with hemp. All of this is really profound. Again, folks, I'm sitting next to an extremely unique person who's committed so much loving time to, you know, really a most challenging situation. If you grew up at the time that I grew up, you realize, you know, we've come so far now to realize if we can do this with marijuana and we can take something that has been demonized by people who don't want you to have this kind of natural blessing, the same way that the suppression Roger just talked about, I've witnessed on Capitol Hill. I witnessed literally the suppression of the documents that prove that vaccination contaminations, as well as mercury toxicity, which is devastating our children and even our children's children, with the foreign genetic materials being passed on through the vaccination generation after generation. We're literally mutating the human race based on this violation, which is a fundamental violation of the Old Testament as well. Leviticus 19:19 says, don't do this. Don't contaminate the blood with foreign genetic materials. Don't even put it on your clothing. But in the old days, they used hemp clothing. And in the old days, they made rope out of it. In the old days, they used all sorts of wonderful things in industries.
Here's a
hemp flag. So
that's a Betsy Ross model right there from ancient days.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Does it have
really
a nice feel?
It's yeah,
so
it's
strong
very
and natural.
Nice. So all of this economy that could be prospering instead is being suppressed. And again, the same drug, I call them the military, medical, petrochemical, pharmaceutical industrialists that are literally conditioning us through the mainstream media to accept the coercion, the enslavement, the depopulation currently through vaccination. All of this madness has got to change. And if you've got a huge ship, how to change it, you look at this man. He's done it.
One of the things I'd like to add, thank you so much, it's very kind of you to say, is the concept of sanctuary. I don't know if you can get that on the camera here, but I'd like to show our sanctuary sign for those out there that are watching this on the internet.
Hold it up. I'm sorry.
That's good.
It's
perfect right there.
Reverend
Rossi, we got it right on the internet right now.
Great.
Okay, that's the sanctuary sign.
Now, the idea behind this sign, which is made on handmade hemp paper, is that everybody in the USA is entitled, it's an inheritance of religious freedom that we've been born into. It's a lifelong right, and it really is respected here. We're living proof at the ministry in the Moses building in Hilo to tell you the truth that the First Amendment is alive and well for the spiritual enjoyment of cannabis if it's done by sincere people in private. And there's no commerce involved. Everybody has the right to grow and use cannabis as their spiritual sacrament, not just their medicine. And everybody's home can become their sanctuary, their place of refuge for the religious use of cannabis. You know, it's one of the most beautiful concepts that it's ever come down the road to have the benefit of safety in your garden and your home, and to be able to plant the seed in the ground and get the blessings that come from it. I mean, that's as ancient as, you know, mother love, and as crucial to enjoy the fruits of this planet for our nourishment and well-being. Well, cannabis has been suppressed, but here we are on the you know, in almost 2010. It's time. The internet has given us safety. The First Amendment in the U.S. Constitution has given us safety. So it's safe now to speak of these things. It's safe to have a cannabis ministry in the USA and have the respect of law enforcement. And I'm just so grateful to this community, to the Aloha spirit that I've come to know and love and appreciate and hopefully model here on the Big Island. It softened me, and I see that the blessings of the cannabis plant can come forth here on the Big Island and show the rest of the world that every citizen has the right to have cannabis right now. I think I read the other day that AARP magazine did a survey, and over 75% of their respondents and subscribers said that they believed in the availability of medical marijuana. Well, that's fine and good, and I'm all for medical marijuana, but the spiritual religious use has a higher quality because medical marijuana is a temporary legal privilege that lasts for 1 year only in the states where it's allowed. And then at the end of the year, you have to be sick continuously to get it renewed for another year.
And that's sick.
And that's not a good thing. That's we're opposed to that. So we want to use cannabis for preventative medicine. We want to use it for our spiritual well-being and our social connection and all the joys and bliss and happiness that can come with it. And I'm here to tell you, if you go to our website, thc-ministry.org, I'll be happy to show you how you too can use cannabis religiously and get the benefit of the First Amendment in your cannabis life. You can have a little secret private garden in your home. You can enjoy it with your family and friends as long as there's no commerce and you use it within the confines of your home or your ministry or church. It's a spiritual sacrament that's been used from ancient days, witness the holy anointing oil and Moses and the blessings of Jesus Christ. And many other religions as well have started with, originally in ancient days, cannabis as their sacrament. The Hindus, Shinto, Buddhists, certainly Rastafarians and others. So I'm very happy to share some of the benefits of, other than smoking, the leftovers of the plant. This is hemp particle board made from the stem.
Hemp particle board.
No trees.
Awesome.
And it has
awesome
a nice
building
clean
material.
Smell and feel to it. I mean, it doesn't smell toxic
not
whatsoever.
At all.
It's very
no,
gentle
it's wonderful.
And beautiful.
Awesome.
And these are hemp fabrics made with 100% hemp fibers. Again, this is the stalk or the branches.
Right. We're going to be producing 528 Fashions. If you go to 528fashions.com, we'll be using, in the near future, hemp cloth for some of the fashions that we're advancing now.
Very
wonderful.
Very beautiful stuff. And then, of course, I'm happy to present the hemp seed oil, which is a nutritional supplement. If you press marijuana seeds or even the industrial hemp seeds, the low THC ones, you get this beautiful nutritional oil, which is fantastic.
It is.
Protein. Omegas.
High, very high. This is the best.
This is awesome. one of the best
sources of all the omega-3s and the enzymes,
that.
Proteins, absolutely.
What a miracle plant.
Yeah, it
I
is.
Mean,
there, it
and I've heard that the Lakota Sioux tribe have called the cannabis in hundreds of years ago the white root medicine. Now, I don't even know what medicine is in the root yet, so there's so much more yet to be discovered. For instance, eating the leaves of the cannabis plant. We've been eating the seeds and the hemp seed oil, but I hear that eating the leaves has an alkalining effect on the body, and I look forward to seeing what the science holds up when we do some research on that.
I'm sure that'll be, if it's alkalizing your body, that's one of the most healing things or preventative things that you can accomplish. All the infectious diseases, typically they occur in an acidified body, the cancers, the autoimmune diseases, neurological impairments, inflammatory conditions, everything is made to get worse in an acidified state. So if we can use everything from cayenne pepper is another good one. Cayenne is the most alkalizing agent you can put in your body, but it's fascinating that we can begin to look at some of the research with medical marijuana or the use of marijuana nutritionally for alkalinity.
Well, that's in fact the case. And, you know, at the end of the Bible in the New Testament, it says that blessed are they that do the commandments, that they will have the right to enjoy the tree of life and then can enter through the gates into the city. That's almost the last sentence in the Bible. And I interpret that so clearly as happy are we that have attained the right, the legal right, the constitutional right, the human right to have cannabis in our lives, that we can enter that city of happiness within, that kingdom within. And then, of course, there's that famous quote about the tree of life, that it shall heal all the nations. The leaves of the tree
right,
of life
exactly.
shall heal all the nations. Well, what is that tree of life? You know, put it on the table right now. What is your guess out there, ladies and gentlemen?
I always thought it was the olive tree, mm-hmm. you know, but in the end, the crystal clear waters shall once again flow through the rivers and streams. And that's our bloodstreams. The crystal clear waters are really the love frequency 528 vibrated, sacred, geometric, structured water that will once again heal us, sustain us, uplift us, and we will be surrounded by the trees whose leaves bring about the healing of the nations. So that's what this is really about. This is a complete metaphor. The whole marijuana consciousness and ministry is a metaphor as well as an actually practically applied solution to all of the economic issues, literally the manipulations, the coercions, the enslavements that we're witnessing internationally today. This is represents part of an evolution in consciousness and political movement for freedom globally. Let it begin with marijuana.
Yes, we say hemp's the answer, what's the question? and not to be, you know, too outrageous about it, but really for deforestation, for soil erosion, for a spiritual disconnect, for pain and suffering, for so many things, for malnutrition, heart disease, cancer, stroke, the leading causes of disease in the USA and other places. Cannabis, marijuana, hemp, the seed, the oil, the tea, the tincture, the poultice, the holy anointing oil, the smoke, the vapor. There's so many pieces of this beautiful, delicious pie which the Creator has put on the planet for our enjoyment. I mean, wow.
Interesting.
What a treat.
Roger, we got to basically wind down. We just have a couple minutes left, so I want to thank you truly for being our guest tonight.
My good pleasure.
Nice to see you, brother.
Right,
it's always a big bless.
Respect.
Love to you,
God
too.
God bless everyone out there. Aloha
yes.
to you.
So I want to thank Reverend Roxy Hampton for being on the show tonight. I want to thank also Sherry Kane for doing the fantastic investigative work that she's doing. If you haven't seen her expose on Michael Moore, go to fluscam.com and sign up for getting the newsletter from Healthy World Store. I want to thank Healthy World Store for being a supporter of the Inside Hour and bbsradio.com. Also, you can get Sherry Kane's newsletter articles on Michael Caine and the capitalism on the healthyworldstore.com. At the bottom, there is the archives, newsletter archives. Go there and read up on fascinating research by Sherry Kane. Thanks, Sherry, for being with us tonight. I also want to thank the folks actually at the Healthy World Store for responding so wonderfully to all the customers that call in, day out, asking questions about health and having to deal with issues of toxicity from the pharmaceuticals to the medical poisonings. And essentially, thank you so much for being with us this past year on healthyworldstore.com, administering this following toll-free number. Thanks for answering this number that people have been calling. It's 888-508-4787. That's healthyworldstore.com, and all the folks who have been so graciously answering those calls and helping people with a variety of different problems and suggesting really practical, safe, low-cost, highly effective solutions to those problems naturally. We thank you so much for being with us this past year, and we wish you the greatest health and happiness for a new year, and be prospered in all ways. I want to leave you tonight with a little prayer. May you be blessed, folks, for helping us, for joining us, for praying with us week in and week out on the Inside Hour. Stay tuned tonight for Don Nikoloff on Evident Footprints to follow us tonight. Next week, we'll join you again next week from California on the Inside Hour. Love you. Happy New Year.